information processing tasks, such as quantum superdense coding and quantum teleportation. In quantum teleportation, for example, a precise quantum state can be transmitted between labs using local operations assisted by classical communication, known as LOCC. And in order to accomplish many of these tasks, an entangled state must be consumed or made less entangled. In this simple diagram here, I have Alice and Bob sharing an entangled state. They're performing part of a protocol where they disentangle the state. So for example, if Alice performs a measurement on her particle to figure out what spin it has, the system becomes unentangled. Now, an entangled state can also be used as a catalyst. So if we suppose Alice and Bob share a state psi and they want to transform it into a different state phi, sometimes this is not possible using LOCC. But they could borrow another state, chi, in order to complete their transformation. And this entangled state chi is known as the catalyst.
What's LOCC?
The local operations assisted by classical communication. It was on the previous slide. Yes. So if Alice and Bob want to perform their transformation from psi to phi, they borrow this catalyst chi, they perform their LOCC, and they're able to get their final state phi, and then they get their catalyst back intact. And so what I've done is I've shown that for certain psi and phi, you can actually get more resources in your product. So again, if we have our state psi, and we borrow a catalyst, we perform our LOCC transformation, we get this state phi, we get our catalyst back intact, and we get this extra state here, denoted by R, which we call the residue entangled state. So essentially, we've made the transformation more efficient. I will now proceed to discuss when such a transformation is possible. So if we have my friends Alice and Bob here, they share a state psi. And so they have some tools here that they can use to perform operations that will give them different outcomes. So if I go back to the example of teleportation, Alice could perform a measurement, so a local quantum operation, and then send the results to Bob via classical communication channels, and then Bob could perform his own measurement using his own tools. Another type of operation they could do is a rotation of their particle, say, and this is a type of unitary transformation, or operation, sorry. And they could also perform generalized measurements, so instead of just working in the subsystem with their particle, they could work in larger subsystems. And so we also need to know how to quantify entanglement. And we do so by using functions that do not increase under LOCC. And these are known as entanglement monotones. So here I have the state psi tilde, and I've written it in its spectral decomposition form. And pretty much all you need to know out of this is it's dependent on these PI values, which are basically eigenvalues. And I'll talk about them a little bit more in the next few slides. And you can apply unitaries to both Alice and Bob's qubits, for example, and you can get this state psi, which is written in Schmidt decomposition, and again, it's dependent on these PI values. So we say that psi tilde and psi are equivalent under LOCC, and this means that their entanglement measures are equal because the functions are dependent just on these PI values. And so I used entanglement monotones to characterize LOCC transformations and ELOCC transformations, which I think I actually forgot to mention earlier because of the question. But the ELOCC transformation are entanglement-assisted local operations assisted by classical communication, so using a catalyst to create the transformation. So again, here we have Alice and Bob, and they're hanging out in their separate labs, and they're sharing the state psi. We can describe each of their subsystems using what are known as density operators. And the density operator is just the state psi without a product with itself, and then you trace out essentially the other lab. So for Bob, we traced out Alice's, so we know everything about just Bob's system. And for pure states, which is what I used, the eigenvalues are the same for both of the systems. And so for our LOCC transformation of psi to phi, we know that we must have the entanglement measures of psi are greater than or equal to the entanglement measures of phi because they cannot increase under LOCC. And a well-known type of entanglement measure are the von Neumann entropies, which you may have seen either in statistical mechanics, or the quantum version, which is dependent on the reduced density operators. These von Neumann entropies are necessary conditions for LOCC transformations, but they are not sufficient. So Nielsen's theorem actually provides us with the necessary and sufficient conditions for LOCC transformations. So if I have my two states here, written in their Schmidt decompositions, so again we have these PIs, and these ones are different, so we just denote them by QIs, and we order them from greatest to least for each state. They're known as the ordered Schmidt coefficients. And Nielsen's theorem states that the transformation from psi to phi is possible if and only if the entanglement measures of psi are greater than or equal to the entanglement measures of phi, and they're given here, and they're just dependent on those ordered Schmidt coefficients. So we can also rewrite Nielsen's theorem in terms of what's known as majorization. So if we want to go from psi to phi, transform it by LOCC, then we must have that psi is majorized, the symbol here, by phi. This means that for the ordered Schmidt coefficients, Q1 is greater than or equal to P1, Q1 plus Q2 is greater than or equal to P1 plus P2, and so on. And so I use this majorization relation to find examples of states psi and phi that such that the transformation of psi to phi under LOCC is not possible. And once I was able to find these states, I then had to look at what made it possible to use a catalyst in order to create the transformation. And in order to do so, I used the Renyi entropies, which actually give the necessary and sufficient conditions for an LOCC transformation. And so they're given here in terms of the ordered Schmidt coefficients and this order alpha, where alpha is from 0 to infinity. And so in the limit of alpha approaches 1, you actually get the well-known Shannon entropies shown here. And the Renyi entropies are entanglement monotones, so they do not increase under LOCC, and they're also additive. And the additivity is a useful property because it gives us some information on the transformation. So if we go back to this diagram where we want to transform psi to phi using a catalyst, then we can calculate the Renyi entropies of psi tensor chi, which must be greater than or equal to phi tensor chi because we cannot increase our entanglement over a transformation. Then we get that if there exists a catalyst, the Renyi entropies of psi are greater than or equal to the Renyi entropies of phi. Now, Turgut actually provided a method for determining if an ELOCC transformation can occur, and he extended the definition of the Renyi entropies to include negative values of alpha. And the specific result I used is this delta R alpha expression given here. So if the transformation psi to phi is possible using LOCC, then this expression must be strictly positive for all values of alpha. And I said, well, if this delta R alpha equation gives a number that's greater than 0, there must be some room for another entangled state, no matter how small. So we can rewrite this equation to include my residue entangled state and still have it satisfy the strict positivity. Another type of entanglement monotone I use are concurrences. And so the basic expression is given for it here. It's just dependent on the dimension of a vector and also the elementary symmetric polynomials. But the important one I used are known as the G-concurrents, and they're the geometric mean of the Schmidt numbers. And so I gave the example here for psi. It's n times the nth root of the ordered Schmidt coefficients multiplied together. And if you expand it out for my transformation from psi to phi, tensor R, using a catalyst, we get this nice expression that the G-concurrents of the residue catalyst is less than or equal to the G-concurrents of psi divided by the G-concurrents of phi. And this brings me to the formal definition of the residue entangled state. So let psi and phi be two pure states in a Hilbert space, AB. And we define their dimensions for the purpose of this project to be n and m, respectively. And m is greater than or equal to 2. And n divided by m is an integer greater than or equal to 2. And we call R the residue entangled state. If the transformation from psi to phi is not possible by LOCC, and the transformation psi to phi tensor R is possible by ELOCC, so in other words, using a catalyst. And this theorem is the main result of my research so far. Again, we have psi and phi in the Hilbert space with dimensions n and m respectively. And we say that if the transformation psi to phi is not possible by LOCC, then there exists a residue entangled state such that we can go from psi to phi tensor R using a catalyst if and only if the following two conditions are satisfied. So the difference of the Rényi entropies between psi and phi is greater than zero for all alpha greater than or equal to zero, and that the larger Schmidt coefficients for each vectors, we satisfy this inequality where Q is greater than P. And moreover, it will satisfy the following equations. So the Rényi entropies of R will be greater than zero and less than or equal to the difference between the Rényi entropies of psi and phi. And we also have our bound with a G concurrence. So the G concurrence of R is less than or equal to the G concurrence of psi divided by the G concurrence of phi. Now, I won't go into proof, but I have some examples that I was able to find. So we have our states psi and phi written in terms of their Schmidt coefficients. And you can see we can't go to psi to phi because 2/5 is less than 1/2, but 2/5 plus 2/5 is greater than 1/2 plus 1/4. And I was able to find a small residue entangled state shown here. And this graph shows the Rényi entropies and the values of alpha. And we see that for alpha greater than or equal to zero, the red line, which is the residue entangled state, is less than the difference between the Rényi entropies of psi and phi, which is what we wanted. And I was able to increase the dimensions a little bit of psi and phi and find another residue entangled state with a little bit more entanglement. And again, we have the Rényi entropies, values of alpha. The red line is the residue entangled state. And the blue line is the difference between the Rényi entropies of psi and phi. And we see that the residue entangled state is greater than zero and less than the difference of the Rényi entropies of psi and phi. So the main problem I studied was if two states are chosen such that the transformation from psi to phi is not possible by LOCC, then does there exist a residue entangled state, R, such that we can transform psi to phi tensor R using an entanglement catalyst. And I provided the necessary and sufficient conditions for such a state to exist. And I've also been able to show some examples of psi and phi and even the residue entangled state. Some future work includes finding some bounds on the residue entangled state and seeing how much entanglement it can actually have. And these types of transformations are important because they provide extra conversion power for quantum states, and in the case of the residue entangled states, they provide more resources in your product. Thank you.